back, malaria swamp. A city where the old rubs shoulders with the new.
They put up an office block in front of the Parthenon.
Picturesque local customs.
3 months imprisonment for parking offences.
Friendly local inhabitants.
Rapists.
Ideal for honeymoon couples.
Inside the Arctic Circle.
Caters specially for children.
Everything closes at 7.
Intimate atmosphere.
Downwind from a tannery.
The old city has tangible reminders of an earlier occupation.
Beer cans, Coca-Cola bottles, and assorted rubbish. Thank you very much indeed. Tonight's sin. The British people don't always seem a very sinful lot, really, do they? I mean, to a lot of people, this, for instance, would be typical of British sin. It's from the Daily Mail. A Methodist minister, the Reverend Cyril Downes, had a heart-to-heart talk with the Sheffield students who are putting on Oscar Wilde's Salome next week. Result? When Salome, 20-year-old Jill Stevens, peels off the last of her 7 veils, she will stand revealed in a flared skirt and tunic blouse with sleeves. Very exciting. The point is really that it's no longer easy to define what sin is at all. The absolutes have gone. I mean, Bertrand Russell said, sin is geographical. And there's something in that. I mean, in Samoa, for instance, it's a sin to remove the straws from a pierced coconut while a guest is present. It's a pretty disgraceful thing to do in Surbiton, too. But sin nearer home is more elusive. The Daily Mail, for instance, quote, police have been called in to catch a gang of girls who hold late-night nude swimming parties in Sutton Park, Warwickshire. They are embarrassing courting couples. I don't know what courting couples are doing these days. Of course, vicars and indeed Methodist ministers in Beccles do their best to define sin.
It's all very well talking about sin, but what are we going to do about it? Stop it! Stop it!
Of course, sin isn't just geographic. It's historical too. Back in the 30s, for instance, the Hollywood list of banned sinful words included wench, courtesan, sex, virtuous, and the expression traveling salesman. If used, quote, where reference is made to a farmer's daughter. Bishops and actresses were apparently all right. But judges too, you see, have to try and give lectures on sin, or at least judges have to lecture sinners.
Young man, you will do your case no good at all if you persist in addressing me as madam.
Of course, in certain parts of London like Soho, people feel fairly confident of discovering sin in, well, in some shape or form.
Hi, Siri. Do you want a bit of fun?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Right.
Different people have such different ideas of sin, you see. This is from an Ilford paper. Quote, a schoolmistress said at Ilford County Court last Wednesday that she objected to seeing men's pyjamas hanging in an indiscreet way on a clothesline. A prize for the best drawing. And what on earth, for instance, are the sins of omission? I asked someone and they said, the sins we ought to have done and haven't. But if Soho is the outdoor location most associated with sin, indoors it's certainly the boudoir.
All right. Where is he? Where is he? What are you doing here?
Everyone's got to be somewhere.
When she gets married, of course, the bride wears white to symbolize purity. The groom wears black. It all used to be so simple. There were 7 deadly sins and 10 commandments that dealt with sin. But today, if you want to make a confession of your sins, the most popular way is not to say it to a priest, but to sell it to the people for £14,000. You know the sort of thing. Yes, I confess. La Dolce Vita came to Dagenham. As I held strange black magic rites in my expensive dormobile with my accomplice, attractive 32-year-old brunette, Doris Rogers. I did it all. I rigged bingo games. I opened a boys' club despite my previous criminal record. It's been sin all the way. Though we mustn't be purely negative. There's a positive side to this human nature as well.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
Lust. But the 7 deadly sins really don't exist anymore, and the 10 commandments do little better. I mean, some of them are getting very difficult to break convincingly. I mean, very few of our neighbours actually have an ox for us to covet. And graven images are few and far between, if you don't count Robin Day. Of course, some people enjoy fairly sinful things and then try and give some sort of highfalutin reasons for doing so. Tom Lehrer feels that you should be honest and make a clean breast of it.
I'd like to say a few words about pornography. I'm for it. The courts in America are currently hearing many cases involving this issue, but unfortunately, the lawyers for the defense in these cases have to argue on the basis of freedom of speech or redeeming literary merit or something like that. But these issues are really irrelevant. I don't read dirty books to exercise my freedoms or because of their literary merit. I read them because they're fun. That's all there is to it. But you can't get up in court and say that, I suppose. Anyway, here's a song about it.
Smut! Give me smut and nothing but. Novel I can't shut if it's uncut and unsut. I've never quibbled. If it was ribald, I would devour where others merely nibbled. As the judge remarked the day that he acquitted my Aunt Hortense, to be smut it must be utterly without redeeming social importance. Pornographic pictures I adore, indecent magazines galore. I like them more if they're hardcore. Bring on the obscene movies, murals, postcards, neckties, samplers, stained glass windows, tattoos, anything. More, I'm still not satisfied. Stories of tortures used by debauchers, lurid, licentious, and vile. Make me smile. Novels that pander to my taste for candor give me a pleasure sublime. Let's face it, I love slime. All books can be indecent books, though recent books are bolder, for filth, I'm glad to say, is in the mind of the beholder when correctly viewed. Everything is lewd. I can tell you things about Peter Pan and the Wizard of Oz. There's a dirty old man. I thrill to any book like Fanny Hill. And I suppose I always will if it is swill and really fill. A hobby like tennis or philately. I've got a hobby, rereading Lady Chatterley. But now they're trying to take it all away from us unless we take a stand and hand in hand we fight for freedom of the press. In other words, smut. I love it. Ah, the adventures of a slut. Oh, I'm a market they can't glut. I don't know what compares with smut. Hip, hip, hooray, let's hear it for the Supreme Court. Don't let them take it away.
Divorce, for instance, was once a great sin. Is it now? The annual report of the Law Society has an example of a man who seems to have been very much in two minds. He said he wished to take divorce proceedings, but then later he said, I wish to withdraw my application in case my wife gets to hear about it. On the other hand, the Reverend Dr. Morris was sure it was sinful. In fact, he tried to clear Henry VIII of the terrible sin of divorce by explaining, it is wrong to think that Henry VIII set a royal example for divorce. He was never divorced. In the two cases where his wife was not killed, the marriages were annulled. So that was all right. Meanwhile, vicars everywhere, again and again, are trying to define this elusive subject of sin for us.
Let him who is without sin cast the first stone.
Needless to say, everyone tries to cash in sin in one way or another, whether they understand it or not. Kick over the most innocent-seeming ad and you'll find the same old appeals to your baser instincts. They'll show you a large, wholesome family racketing about the screen with a message breathed in a seductive whisper by Mum, milk helps busy fathers to stand the pace. They follow that up with an even larger family. By this time, Mum was whispering fervently, there's nothing like a glass of milk to keep the family on the go. Milk, the new four-letter word. Ban milk. Books and films try to cash in too, though rather differently. They use the language of sin in opposite ways. With hard cover books, the critics, reviewers and so on don't say what they mean, of course. They use very innocent descriptions.
Rabelaisian
means filthy.
Adult
means filthy.
A book I finally warmed to.
The filthy bits are at the end.
A book I couldn't finish.
The filthy bits are at the beginning. But with films, the publicists there don't say what they mean either, of course. But it's the other way round.
They were like two beasts from the jungle, wild and primitive, clawing at each other with naked passion.
Born free.
A searing expose of the traffic in flesh.
Look at Life, number 72, Smithfield Market.
The naughtiest film of the year.
You see Hayley Mills' ankles.
The spiciest film of the year.
You see Hayley Mills' knees.
The sexiest film of the year.
You don't see Hayley Mills at all.
It's ooh la la when an English gent makes for Gay Paris and finds a few diversions en route.
Henry V.
Trapped in the bed of a beast.
Goldilocks. But perhaps one day we shall get the truly innocent film, innocently described, about the other side of Soho, that strange world, the world of decency. we bring to the screen scenes never before shown, including an Italian fully dressed opening a tin of pilchards. How refreshing it would be, and it wouldn't be sin at all. Gluttony isn't really a sin anymore either. I mean, no one really worries about that, except the glutton, of course. No matter where he is, he can find his urges very compelling.
Just a tea, please.
And where would Jane Austen have got if she'd written a book called Gluttony and Prejudice? The trouble is really that with people no longer sure about supernatural forces, they can't be sure if there are any supernatural laws about sin either. One thing people forget, though, is that the devil has his problems too. We present the week's bad cause.
I would like you, if you would, to look closely for a moment at this picture. It is a photograph of only a few out of millions of souls in torment. It was taken several hundred years ago. These poor people have not been tormented since because of lack of funds. You know, hell is a purely voluntary organization. There's no state aid, no insurance scheme, no grant even from UNICEF. Now look at this picture. Heartrending, isn't it? These witches of Salem have to be roasted alive on less fuel per year than you probably use in one day in the warmth and comfort of your own home. What can you do to help? Well, 10 shillings will maintain a rack for 2 weeks. Only £5 will assure eternal fire for one sinner for 6 months. Life's not much fun down here, you know, in the bottomless pit. We're not doing a popular job. We get a lot of opposition from the press, and still some from the church. You will find our address in your copy of the Radio Times this week. Would you help us? Please?
But when you start trying to give people specific instructions on how to avoid sin, I mean, that isn't very easy either. One girls' school in California, run by a fairly strict sect, gives these instructions to girls at the school, quote, "Don't wear patent leather shoes, else men will see your underwear reflected in them." Ask anyone who they think of as the number one sin-fighting force in the world, and they'll probably say, with all its social work and so on, the Salvation Army, which was, of course, formed more than 100 years ago in Britain and America to lead the fight against that great demon, drink.
Away, away with rum, by gum, with rum, by gum, with rum, by gum, away, away with rum, by gum. That's the song of the Salvation Army. We're coming, our brave little band. On the right side of temperance, together we stand. We don't smoke tobacco, because we all think that the people who smoke it are liable to drink. So away, away with rum, by gum, with rum, by gum, with rum, by gum, away, away with rum. rum. By gum, that's the song of the Salvation Army. Now we never eat fruitcake because it has rum, and one little bite puts a man on the bum. Now can you imagine a more terrible sight than a man eating fruitcake until he gets tight? So away, away with rum, by gum, with rum, by gum, with rum, by gum. Away, away with rum, by gum, that's the song of the Salvation Army. Now we never eat biscuits because they have yeast, and one little bite makes a man like a beast. Now can you imagine a more terrible disgrace than a man in the gutter with crumbs on his face? So away, away with rum, by gum, with rum, by gum, with rum, by gum. Away, away with rum, by gum, that's the song of the Salvation Army.
As popularized by Ann Ziegler and General Booth. Basically, though, sin is not definite anymore. The cautious acceptance that there may be something in what Darwin had to say does not immediately call down a smoking thunderbolt. There's really only one sin that survives.
For a long time, I've had the feeling that there's someone else. What's happened to us, Edwina? Where did I go wrong? We used to have something that was beautiful and fine. Is there anyone else, Edwina? For God's sake, tell me. I don't mind, as long as I know.
Yes, there is someone else. And he's not like you, George. He's everything that's clean and decent and good.
Thank you. If that's the way you feel, Edwina, I'm leaving you. I'm going, Edwina. And I'm going for good.
Darling, who was that?
It's over now. Don't let's talk about it.
But I'm entitled to know. After all, I am your husband.
The old sins are disappearing and new ones are growing up. I mean, religious observance on Sundays now means reading the Observer book reviews, looking at the Sunday Times business news section and splitting your sides at Peregrine Westhorn. There are two kinds of convictions today, really, moral and previous. The second are better, and you can make a living writing about the second in television plays and so on. It's all moved on a lot from those days in the Garden of Eden, though even that wasn't exactly the same as people remember it. Original sin wasn't lust at all, it was apples. That's why in Arab countries they offer you filthy pictures of Granny Smith. But if you think Britain's about to be overwhelmed in a terrible earthquake of people committing all the old sins, don't worry too much. As de Madariaga said, the Anglo-Saxon conscience doesn't prevent the Anglo-Saxon from sinning. It merely prevents him from enjoying it. We still like our pools coupons to call us investors, not gamblers. There's not universal happiness about the prospect, which is a good thing, really, because so many people would be put out of work by universal happiness. Psychiatrists, publicans, News of the World reporters, Reader's Digest editors, Debbie Reynolds. There's no doubt if everyone was happy, many people would be made thoroughly miserable. Good night.